took a loss, I learned a lesson. I won't ever think I'm better than the next man. I've been down before to come up out these stresses. Baby, I'm too busy counting all these blessings.
Corey, one of the people that dodges me on the podcast. It's been 8 months since the last time he's been on. So, let's see what's on and popping. Wants to talk about religion.
Hey, buddy.
I know you're hyped up, ready to go. Goodness.
Ready to go.
You love to argue. You love to argue all the time. And one of the things we got into was you and religion. Loving God and seeing Jesus and all this good stuff, you know. you know, I need to have one of those moments as well. I haven't had those, unfortunately. But just for the record, man, just for that, you know, it's not that I'm not mocking you. I don't think I'm an atheist. I definitely don't feel. I'm just on the belief that until I get some definite proof of God and the religion, and I have other general reasons for it. I'm not a scholar. I'm not someone is educated with it, but you know, I just come from a mindset of prove me that Christianity is real, and then prove me that is the legit thing, other than, you know, Muslims or the other religions that are around the world. That's kind of where I stand that with it all, you know.
Yeah, but it's kind of along the lines where I said to you, okay, fine, prove to me physically. Give me some hard evidence, something tangible that you love your daughter, you know, and you can't. You can say, well, I'll give her a hug, and I take care of her, and I look after her, and yeah, sure, all those things, but you can't prove the word love. There is no equation or formula or, you know, book or whatever you want to say to put your hand physically on to prove it. You just know it, right? And that's how a lot of people feel about God and religion and whatever they believe in. Hey, you know, so part of the problem with religion and Islam and all that stuff is most people's minds that are very passionate about religion is, and this is the same way on atheism too, is that my belief requires your belief, right? And it goes into politics too, where I'm of the mindset of, hey, my belief in God does not require your believing in God. They're mutually exclusive. Remember when I went to England last year, and I was in the small town pub up in Leeds, and I was talking to this guy, and it was right during the election time, and getting real hot heat, and of course everybody, you know, because it was from the United States, want to talk about Trump, and, you know, Trump this, Trump that, what do you think about Trump?
Right,
and,
of course.
You know, so inevitably we ended up talking about religion as a subcontext of Trump and, you know, the views of Americans and stuff. And the guy said, we had, like, a great conversation. We were talking for, like, an hour, and it was, like, we were best friends. And he's like, but you don't believe in God, do you? And I said, yeah. He's like, oh, man. And after about 5 minutes of the religious conversation, he just walked away. He couldn't stomach the fact that I believed in God. Even after, like, an hour of a heavily invested conversation in politics and,
yeah,
you know, fun stuff, and the guy just walked away. He was so turned off by the fact that I chose to believe in God. He's like, but it doesn't exist. Can't prove it. And he,
yeah,
took it personal. It's like, not my problem.
Yeah, I mean, people take that stuff personal when it comes to religion, when it comes to politics, when it comes to race. Those things just strike a nerve unlike any other. And I know that I steer clear of any of that. And that's where, like, a lot of my friends, like when I talk to you, there's a lot of things I don't talk to you about, you know, because I don't want to strike a nerve. Same thing with another person. You know, I know they're within their box and their comfort level, and you have to be respectful of that. You can't go in there and spew something that conflicts with it or trying to trigger. You know, that's one of the things that we used to do a lot with each other in the past. And it's like, you know, now we're in a different phase. So, you're not trying to do that at all. But going back to the religion aspect of it, when you're trying to compare it to the love that I have for my daughter, the only thing I could say to you is that it's tangible. Like, my daughter physically exists. Now, whether I love her or not, that's a different story. That's subjective. But as far as her existing and being part of this world, that's not something that's fabricated. That's not something that I have to ask someone to believe. You know, I don't have to go and tell a stranger, hey, I have a daughter. And they're saying, okay, show me, you know, show me. And I'm like, okay, here's a picture of her. This is the video of her. This is all these things that I have to show proof that she's here. Now, whether you think I love her or not.
Where's the DNA test?
What's that?
Where's the DNA test?
Yeah, I can get all of that. See, but the thing is, so I can give you something valid and scientific and tangible with that. You can't do that with God. You can't give me that. So that's kind of where I'm on the fence about it because, number one, you know, and I've had these talks with people in prior podcasts, and it talks about, you know, obviously this is above my pay grade. This is above my knowledge base. When I talk to you about things, it's more from a common man perspective. I'm not trying to get on this high horse that I'm smart and that I'm, you know, very knowledgeable about all these things. It's just looking at it from a general perspective of non-bias and saying, okay, you know, this is something that people follow. There's other parts of the world that follow different religions, right, and different ways of living. And they base those livings based on their religion that they follow. So who's to say that they're wrong? You know, who's to say that, who's the right religion? Does that make sense? Like they're, it's like Jewish different than us is different than meaning us, meaning Christianity, meaning that Buddhism, even though that's not a religion per se, you know, Catholics, you know, it's all these different denominations, you know, when you have Mormons, et cetera, et cetera. So that's kind of where when I talk to someone like yourself that believes in God and believes in Christianity, it's more of, okay, how do you differentiate your religion being better than the other ones? And how can you explain it being legit? You know, that's kind of my questions to anybody.
I think the problem lies in the question. Why does it have to be better? Why can't it just be indifferent?
Because
why can't things just exist? Why can't things just exist in a you know, a cohesive mesh of things? You know, yeah. People have gotten along in different cultures, religions, races for thousands of years, and granted, it's been the source of a lot of death and fights and stuff, but people have gotten along, and they don't, you know, like I said, my belief, even, you know, even Christianity addresses the fact that, you know, well, what about this mental handicap to put to think rationally even and do a simple equation of 1 + 1 or any of that stuff. How can they go to heaven? And there's passages in the Bible that address that. It's not the noble savage, but it talks about, you know,
mm-hmm.
You know, God is aware of that. I mean, obviously, he's all-knowing, you know, depending on what you believe. But
yeah.
I think the greater question is it doesn't really matter. You ever seen the movie Prometheus?
No.
Okay, it's a great movie. You know, it's about aliens and stuff, but it's actually deeper than that. There's, you know, they're trying to find, it's trying to find their existence, where we come from, right? The creators and all this stuff. And, you know, of course, aliens are a byproduct of subplots in the story, but you know, one of the scientists is deeply religious. He believes in God, and you know, kind of X-Files is kind of like this too. And then the other guy in the movie is not. He's pure scientific. There is no God. There is no proof. There is no equation. And you know, the guy's really giving her a hard time. And something just happened in the movie where it kind of shatters her faith, or you would think it would shatter her faith. And he says, you know, why you believe, or you know, what you believe now, and she's like, because that's what I choose to believe.
Hmm.
And that, to me, is like such a profound statement of, you know, part of the negativity in our culture and everything is we're always, like, judging and we're always commenting and we always have opinions and all this stuff. And, you know, at the end of the day, you know, it really doesn't matter. If you're not hurting anybody and that's what you really believe and what you really feel and what's important to you, then
sure.
As long as you're not violating somebody else's human rights, and
sure.
It shouldn't matter.
I agree.
So to me, I understand where you're coming from, because there's a lot of people that it's their goal to change your mind. It's like a hurdle. You know, I got to get over it at any cost. And if I don't get over it and I can't convince you, then it becomes personal, then condescending, then negative, and then it ends, you know. And I used to be like that when I was younger. I was very, I'm still obviously passionate and opinionated, but I'm a lot more open-minded or objective than I used to be, because I've had a lot more world experience and stuff, especially going to other countries and other cultures and dealing with, you know, all kinds of different stuff. And I just think that people tend to want to be right I know you say that about me a lot, but, that's just the competitive side of me, right? That's just I want to win or whatever. You know, I played basketball with this guy in high school, and he would make me look like an idiot, and he would make me look like an idiot in flip-flops in the Sunday best, and I'd be in my David Robinson's with my shorts on, and I'd be trying as hard as I can. He'd just keep scoring, and he'd win, and I'd be like, no, let's play again, and I just, yeah. I'm kind of that hard-headed, you know. If I win once, I'll be happy. I got to get there, but... keep going at it.
And I think there's nothing wrong with having that mindset of competing and just trying to do your best, and even in a conversation. But I think what you realize is that people have their own opinions and all views of life, and we just have to accept them. And that's the mindset that I have. And that's something that, hey, as long as you don't impede or trying to impose your views on me and you respect my circle, then I'm fine. And we can agree to disagree. And I think that's one of the things that we don't have as a society, and that's the reason I think that we have a lot of the divisiveness, whether it's religion, whether it's race, whether it's politics, is that we don't want to come to the middle and just agree to disagree and just try to find a happy medium so we can both coexist but yet respect each other. So I think that's kind of where, you know, one side always feels like they're being pushed by the other, and then they're having to retaliate, and I'm talking from an ideology standpoint. So I think that when it comes to religion, it's no different. I think that's something that people get really passionate about, whether for or against it. And I'm just in the fence saying, okay, listen, I have a lot of questions here, and I don't know if you can answer them or not. And I'm fine. You know, I know with religion, you're right. I mean, it's not like one is better than the other, okay? But I've grew up in it, and I went to enough church to know that if you have been exposed to Christ and religion and you denounce it or you're not with it, then you're going to hell. Okay. And, you know, I just know these things that it's not right, because I always told this to someone else. Hey, what if I was a Chinese, you know, a farmer? I've never known anything else but my life, and it did not include Christianity. I've heard about Christianity, but it's not in my culture. You're right. And I'm just living my life, not hurting a fly, being good to others, just having a good internal moral compass, and that person dies. Are they going to hell? You know, and because he's...
No, not necessarily. Right. The Bible addresses that. The Bible talks about that. Okay. I think the problem there is that that's people's interpretation of it. And they say, you are going... Nowhere in the Bible or Christianity does it allow for Christians to talk about who is and who is not going to hell. That's not what Christianity is about. And, you know, there's a perversion of all religions, especially Islam. I mean, part of it's in the text of the verbiage of Islam that says these things, but nowhere in Christianity will you find a passage that says you go tell the non-believer that if he doesn't believe, he will go to hell. That's for the believer to read and interpret it on their own.
Yeah. I think it's something, yeah. I think it's something that it's a very subjective conclusion, right? So I think at the end, that's where I'm going at the absolute. I also, just on the other side of it, that's why I can't jump on the atheist side, because I just can't believe that we all have been created from a Big Bang explosion and that we're just microorganisms that evolved into what we are today. You know, I can't believe that either. Does that make sense? Like, we just hit like this genetic lottery.
I think that belief is just as strong as a belief in God.
Right. It is.
To believe that two rocks collided and then this magical ooze happened and then all this stuff, all these complex DNA things and everything evolved from that. I mean, that requires a huge leap of faith without any tangible evidence. You know, there was a meme going around Instagram that I thought was freaking hilarious, and it kind of addressed the scientific community of like, oh, you know, tens of thousands of years ago, there was climate change, and because we knew that, you know, it raised half a degree 10,000 years ago. And it's like, then you look at the models for the hurricane, and it's like, we have all these computers, we have all these cameras, we have all these satellites, we have all this stuff. And then they give a 1,000-mile margin of error where the hurricane is going to end up.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean,
right? But you can tell me that we were within half a degree about what temperature was 10,000 years ago.
Right.
Okay.
I don't know about all of that. So, yeah, I agree with you on that. And that's kind of where they lose me. The atheist loses me. And there's no consistent evidence in that. And that's where the problem lies, because I do believe in paranormal activity. I think that people have had those out-of-body experiences, one too many. And I just don't think that's just some brainwave pattern that for some reason was activated, right? And you saw something. I just don't believe in that either. You know, like, I think those atheists believe in purely science being able to provide all the answers. But I don't think they have, there's some answers that can't be explained, because, you know, I just don't believe that we're just the only ones existing in this whole multifaceted universe, you know, and galaxies and all this stuff, right? So that's kind of where, you know, I sit there just sitting objectively and looking at both sides and just sitting there on the fence. I'm like, okay, well, you know, I got questions for the religion people and I got questions for the atheist people. And at the end, you know, I've talked to atheists. I said, you know, wouldn't you rather lean in the side of science? You know, the side where there's more proof, meaning that there's zero proof in religion, whereas in atheist mindset, there is like 30-40% actual proof. Wouldn't you rather side with that? And I'm like, I mean, I you got to sell me on this full, you know, the full Monty. I just can't have bits and pieces where I'm just not believing all of it. Does that make sense? So that's kind of where I'm on the fence about it. So when I talk to people that are religious or people, and, you know, I believe in the religious moral code and being good to others and things that should be applicable but are not in our society, you know, but people want to live by the Bible but don't live the ways of the Bible unless you're Tim Tebow, you know?
I mean, that's a lot of things in life, you know, walk the walk, talk the talk, yeah. You know?
It's just a big mess.
I don't know. The religious thing, I mean, there's just a lot of people that ruin it for everybody. And unfortunately, those are the last people, and those are the people that get the most attention, like the Westboro Baptist Church that say, you know, all the people that are at the funerals are gay, the soldiers, all that stuff. I mean, they just ruin it for everybody, right?
Yeah. You just have some people, man, that just really screw it up. I mean, Joel Osteen over there in Houston. I mean, he just dropped the ball big time, didn't he? I mean, you know, with that whole ordeal with the church and Hurricane Harvey going through there and the way he was acting.
That's what it looks like.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a bad look, and that just gives fuel to the fire. It's no different in politics, right? I mean, when a Democrat does something wrong, then, you know, obviously the conservatives, the other side, is just going to gang up on it. And they're going to go ahead and use that as fuel to their fire to continue their ideology and their movement. And that's just the way it goes. It never ends. But it's just one of those things with religion, man. I just stay the flock out of there, because I just think it's something that at the end you're going to have a strong conviction about. And I truly believe.
Well, go ahead.
No, I was just saying, I just truly believe that a lot of our views and a lot of our thoughts that are concrete just come from our family values, from our base, from how we grew up, and that's how we believe. And I think that, sure. that's kind of what we're hanging on to. And I think for me, having the dysfunctionality and not having our set root of values instilled in me allows me to look at different angles, allows me to look at different things objectively and not be pinned to this corner of values that have been instilled in me, you know, and I'm able to step outside the box. I'm able to talk to other people from different viewpoints and accept it. You know, I may not agree with it. I may not like it, but I'm able to accept it and live in harmony with that person, as long as they're not, like you said, they're not trying to inflict any physical harm on me or trying to impose their will on me. Then, you know, as far as their beliefs, then I'm good. Then, you know, we can just go ahead and be happy roommates. But I think that's a lot of the problems in our society is based on that. It's a good thing that we have values instilled in us, but then we're not open-minded to accept other people and other views and other challenges that other people face, you know? And that's kind of where many of us drop the ball and being able to coexist.
Yeah, I mean, for me, like, this is like a subset or an offshoot of like the bigger point of American culture is like, American culture is a winning culture. Like, right. Our entire culture is based on winning and winning at everything.
Right.
I mean, from sports, obviously, to debates, to politics,
yes,
to getting the best deal of a car dealership, to, you know, to jokes, you know, getting one up on your friends, to drinking the most. I mean,
Right.
Our American culture, more than any other culture in the world, is based on winning.
Right.
And that mentality, that right, that drive, and you know, I'm a huge part of that. You know, I'm always competing, and like you know, we've mentioned earlier, that winning culture is what kind of entangles into these conversations we have with each other about religion and politics and everything else. But it becomes a competition.
Yeah.
Right. I can't have a conversation with you without convincing you and bringing you to church, and then we're believing in God, and then I won. I don't really feel happy after that.
Right.
I believe in Jesus. Touchdown for me. You know.
Sure. No, I get
that's
it.
That's the point.
Yeah, exactly. It's not the you point. Know? It's
for me, for religion, it's like the part of it. I mean, Christianity, just like everything else, like I said, can get perverted. But the thing with Christianity is you're supposed to bring the gospel to the non-gospel exposed. You're supposed to tell them about God and give them the word of God and show them how you live your life and how you act. And,
right.
And if people say, well, how, you know, why do you behave like this? Why do you do these things? Well, that's what I believe based on blah, blah, blah. And it's up to the individual to make that determination where mm-hmm. other religions or other beliefs, it's like, no, you will believe or, you know, I will cut your head off or I will kill you. It's like, well, that's not an objective choice, you know.
Yeah.
I don't have an opportunity to think about it and to decide maybe I do believe. Because there's plenty of people that have, you know, become religious and there's been plenty of people that have lost their religion. And, you know, I used to go to church as a kid and my you know, dad you know, took us and it was a very regimented function of our childhood. And my wife really don't go to church. They don't care for the organized kind of, you know, atmosphere of church. You know, the different aspects of Christianity and stuff and
right.
all the ceremonies and procedures. Oh, that stuff's so man-made.
Yeah.
That, you won't find any of those ceremonies or the hymns or any of that stuff in the Bible or you must wear this and walk this way and say this or how many Hail Marys and you know, all that stuff is something that somebody took with the Word of God and then layered into their own interpretation of, okay, well, we need to go here, we need to be here for this one, we need to do this.
Mm-hmm.
Some of it's good and some of it's not.
Right. Yeah, you know? Your relationship with God is personal. It's not something that has to be approved by anybody else in this world.
Absolutely.
So, you know, when you talk along those lines, I get it. You know, I totally respect it because I lived that. I've known people firsthand within my family. My grandmother was the same way. And it was one of these things that at the end, your relationship with God is personal. It's not something that you have to go ahead and go to church more times than the next person or, you know, be a bigger advocate, whatever it is. You know, you don't have to get involved with that. As long as you believe in God and you go ahead and live the life that he wants you to live according to the principles of the Bible, then you're good, right? I mean, that's just the way it works. It's not something you have to go to church and do all these different things. It's whatever relationship you have is personal, and you go from there. And, you know, but I think with the competitive nature that you talked about in our society, that's the way that we've been in our country, right? That's the way this country has become a superpower so quickly in the history of human mankind, right? I mean, it's just not even 300 years. I mean, it's been amazing how powerful and how stable and strong this country has been because of that competitive nature. But I think it goes back to just how you talked about, right? You talked about how you were competitive and you were just trying to win an argument and you're trying to compete. And now you understand that you have to pump the brakes when it comes to that and know that you're in a good place in life. And I think that's how I feel the same way about people in general is that we are just so obsessed and driven about winning by any means in all facets of life that we're not accepting of someone else's ways. You know, it's just that competitive gene that allows many of us to be successful and to be quote unquote winners in life. You know, there's a point where you have to kind of let off the throttle a little bit and say, okay, I've made it here. I don't need this anymore. I don't need that. Whatever it is, whatever that trait is that got you there, you know, and I think that's one of the problems that we have as well, because when you have that competition or when you have that defensive edge, whatever it is, those things that helped you get to a place of success and stability, those things at some point you have to let go as well, because it's going to be a detriment to you. It becomes an obsession. It becomes something that eventually ends up being negative, and it's just not a good thing to have as you grow, because I think that's the biggest thing we have to do is just grow and be accepting of other people and not being pushed over per se, right? I mean, you don't want people to try to trample all over what your beliefs are, but you want them to be accepted, you know? And I think that's kind of where, when you talk about religion, it's just one of those topics that, man, it's a very delicate thing to just discuss, because, man, you tell someone you don't believe in Jesus or, you know, you need more proof, forget about it. They're just going to look at you like, you know, I'm going to go get on my knees and pray for you. You know what I mean? It's like, goodness.
Yeah, I understand.
I don't know. It's a
free... You know, there's accepting and then there's approving, you know?
Like, yeah.
You know, sexual preference and all this stuff. Like, fine, I accept you, whatever you want. I don't really care. But that doesn't mean I have to approve of it. That's part of my problem with politics now, is that, you know, it's gotten so volatile and the vitriol and everything is like, no, you must approve it.
Right.
It's not good enough for you to accept it and let me be, live and let live. You must approve of it. I must convince you, you know, that it's a good thing.
Right.
And then you must go tell everybody else it's good. It's like, no, I really don't. I'm not going to comment on it. I might have my opinion on it, but it's my own opinion. But I don't need to approve it. That's for you.
Right.
And so much of our society requires other people's approval of stuff. Well, I won't do something or I won't participate in something unless I know all the other people around me approve of it.
Yeah,
that's part of the problem with this mentality, right?
No.
Convincing other people and arguing and in politics and, you know, trying to find the middle of the road. You know, it's just always this...
Yeah,
I think,
yeah, it is, because what it is like, you know, when you talk about the gay issue, you know, personally, I'm all about accepting everyone and anyone, man. I mean, you could be flaming, you could be, you know, against it, but I'm all for people of whatever. I just look at it, they pay taxes, if they're good people, I don't care, whatever goes on in their bed is none of my business. You know, whatever they do for, you know, if they want to identify with the same gender, when someone says they're gay, okay, it means to me that they want to be identified out in the public, out in the world, as being in a partnership or a relationship with someone of the same gender, right? That's the way I look at it when someone says, I'm gay. I want to be viewed or accepted as a person that appreciates someone of the same gender or is in love with someone of the same gender. So I'm cool with that, you know, as long as you're not trying, and I accept it, but... You know, there's people that want to impose that on you, that they want to say, oh, well, you know, that's one of the things I always tell people about it, that growing up, what happens is you have people that you run into that are gay, and then they're like, you know, they want to kind of have you tap into that well, like, okay, come to this side. They want to persuade you. It's like, no, you know, I'm good, bro. Like, I'm good on this side. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'll let you partake in it, you know, but I'm good. You know, I'm happy being in this side, you know, and it's not against your side, but I'm happy. So like you talked about, it's just people trying to impose their values on you, and you're just a person that, hey, you know, I that's fine how you are, but, you know, don't expect me to approve of it. And I approve of it, you know, because again, it just comes down to just being people. If they're good people, if they're good to me, and if they're doing the right things from a moral perspective, then who am I to judge them on who they date and who they don't want to date? You know what I mean? Or who they want to be with. That's love and that's subjective. So I'm not going to give anybody a hard time about that. But everyone's different because, you know, it's a comfort level. It comes back to that comfort level that we all have, right?
It's fine with me. I mean, I don't care what you do, but you don't, but, you know, people make it, you must accept it. You must approve of it. You must acknowledge it. Why do we even need to talk about it? It's your personal lifestyle. You do
right.
Whatever you want to do. Why do we need to have a conversation?
Right.
But why do I have to get a signature on a piece of paper about it? Why does anything I do, why does anything you do require my approval unless you're my wife or my kids or, you know, part of my family? You know? Why does that matter? And so much of that in our culture, like, you know, they just,
or that's,
you know, we just get, you know, uptight about everything. And
we are. I think
can't
we're.
Can't do it anymore. I can't, you know.
Yeah. I just think we're in a weird time where I think the progression of social agendas has been at a level where we're having to accept anything and everything that comes out in the open. And I think that's something that just takes time, you know, whether it comes to, you know, your preferences as far as sexual identity, when it comes to how, you know, you live your life and the lifestyle, whether it's very liberal, when I'm talking about doing recreational drugs, whatever it is, you know, whatever these things are that have been very taboo in the last 40 to 50 years, you know, they're just now being pushed to the forefront. And like you said, it's just kind of being pushed down your throat and said, hey, here, you know, go ahead and accept this, love it or shove it. And I think there's many opposition to that. And I think that that's just not the way to do it, you know, but I don't think we should be speaking against it. I don't think anybody should. It's okay. You know, that's your flavor. That's your flavor. It's nothing, you know, just don't go ahead and taint, you know, what I have going on here either. You know, don't frown upon it. And I think that's the biggest problem that we have as a society, is that we're just not accepting of someone's ways. Like, I'm accepting of a conservative, of a diehard social conservative, that's a diehard Christian, evangelical, right? That just doesn't, I'm all accepting about that, that lifestyle and who they are. I mean, there's great people that I know that are that way, but that doesn't mean I have to live that way. And the great thing about it is that people that are like on the same page as me and you can accept someone from a different walk of life and not hold it against them. It's like, okay, that's your thing. But as long as you're not trying to impose that on me, then we're good, you know, and that's kind of how we need to be. And I think that's how I am with my friends and people that are in my circle. It's like, you know, I have so many people from different walks of life that, you know, but the key is that it's mutual acceptance. It's not like we're trying to impose our thoughts onto each other, you know, and I think that's a beautiful thing. And if we can do that more on the macro level, I think that we'll be better off as society, much better off.
I agree, but I think the pendulum swung too far the other way, where it's now it's like, mm-hmm. People, how do you identify yourself, or whether socially, religiously, or politically, or socioeconomically? How do you define yourself? What's your position on this? And a lot of times when I find that I take a position, I tell people, like, I really don't have one. Right. Like, what do you mean you don't have one? Like, I really don't have one. I don't care. Right. Well, what do you mean you don't care? That means you're anti this. And I'm like, no, right. I said I don't have an opinion. I don't care.
Right.
Well, then you're desperate. Then you're with them. I'm like, oh God, here we go.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. I mean, yeah, you're right, because it's like people don't want to. They don't want you to be on the fence about something. Like, just like how I am with religion. Like, it's like you just can't sit there and watch a football game and appreciate it. You have to either root for one team or the other. Or that's how people feel, right, passionate about these topics. It's like, you just can't say, I'm just here watching a football game, man. I don't have any horse in the race here. If you say the same thing about politics, if you say the same thing about race or about religion, forget about it. It's like, oh, forget about you. You know, you're just a sellout. You're this, you're that. And it's like, no. I'm seriously, honestly, just watching the show here. I understand both sides. And that's been my mindset over the course of time. It's just been more of, all right, you know, I see your point, I see your point. I'm just sitting here and watching the show and whatever, you know, until I feel I'm swayed one way or the other, then I'll go down that way. But right now I'm on the fence, and people just can't stand that, because it comes back to like what you said about that competitive nature. You know, you know, when you're competing, you have an enemy, you have a competition, you have someone you're going up against. It's not this, you know, little grade school stuff where everyone gets trophies. Like, they don't think that way. It's like, no, someone's going to win this one. And if you're not with me, you're against me. And that's that. And it's like, no, you know, life is so gray that we just can't think that way. You know, I mean, we're just talking about American society. Just think about just on an international level, just how differently we think, you know, versus people in Europe, Asia, you know, South America, et cetera. So it's just people don't think of it along those lines of the bigger picture. And I think you've been able to kind of expand because you've been out there and seeing the world and talking to people, and that helps a bit, doesn't it?
It's like, you know, spending 8 hours to get one drop of blood out of a turnip when I could have been doing something else. What is that drop of blood worth?
Yeah.
Is it worth 8 hours of my life gone to fight, to get whatever, you know, that analogy for winning a debate or an argument? It's like, you know, these people go at it, and then, you know, there's like, I don't know if there's a clip in a movie where people, like, yell at each other, and they're going at it, and like an angry tweet, they're into it, and then they go, then they finally like settle down and put the most happens, and then they go, "Hey, what were you even talking about?" Right?
Right.
Like, who won? I don't even remember what we were arguing about, and then they just move on and do something else, right? You know, but you know, you can't say that now because you're not into fantasy football, so you're into the competitive thing with your podcast. It's shark in the, you got, you see blood in the water.
Yeah,
you know.
I have opinions, and I have opinions, and I like to just say them, and I like to be objective about them. And there's no right or wrong, you know, in what I spew, but I just like to have my thoughts because that's what I just love journaling all this. But, you know, fantasy football, it's just fun. Competition is healthy. It's not something where, yeah, man, it's just, you know, I love that stuff. I love competing, picking out stocks and players and, you know, just kind of rubbing it in people's faces because there's some people that really take it more serious. But it's fun. It's all fun. And but listen, I'm going to wrap this thing up for sure, my friend. But I just like to get the show on the road and got some things here to do. But I really appreciate
you. I don't think we've ever really talked religion.
No, we never have because you're a religious freak here and, you know, closeted. But you just never.
I've always had that opinion about religion.
Yeah.
I may not have expressed it as open-mindedly, mm-hmm. I can even say that, as I have. But, you know, I would try to convince people that God is real, and I would use the show me love as tangible proof love argument.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, does it, you know, long as I've exposed somebody to something or I feel like I've told them about it and gave them an opportunity to learn about it, then I've done my job.
Yeah, no doubt you about know? It. And that's what you're supposed to do as a Christian follower and as a believer of Christ and the God, Jesus Lord. So, you know, I mean, you're doing the right thing, brother. And just keep spewing away. And hopefully one day you get me on one side of the fence or another. So
that's your journey.
Yeah.
That's not my journey.
Absolutely. Absolutely, my friend. So, listen, I'm going to wrap this thing up. But I appreciate you taking a few moments here to Great. Talk with me. And, you know, hey, man, don't be a stranger, man. You know, I don't bite in these things. I'm pretty civil, as you see, all right? So,
no, we need to do one on Kaepernick.
Oh, God. All right, dude. Well, listen, I'm going to cut you off on that, bro. But, all right, man. Well, I'm going to head and let you go, all right?
All right, man.
Yep. Talk to you.
After a season of night frost and pushbacks, after the heartache of wrong turns and sidetracks, just when they think they got you game, set, match, oh, 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 here comes a comeback. Just 'cause you laid low, got up slow, unsteady.